All right. So good to see everyone, and thank God. Thank God for you. Amen. Wasn't the Spirit of God good this morning? Amen. Just seemed like it swept right over us, and I praise God for that on those special occasions when He comes in these special ways, and He's always special to us, but not all the time does He move in this manner. Enjoyed Brother Clifford's testimony there. Praise the Lord, how the Lord has touched him. And we just appreciate each one of you this morning. Praise God. And we want to look right to the Word of God. And we appreciate the Word. Amen. And I want to take a little thought here this morning concerning a perfect wife for the perfect Son of God. Amen. And when I take that message like that, the thought like that, we hadn't always been the wife. Amen. We have by predestination. Amen. But in the days of Paul, he engaged or espoused a virgin, and that's been restoring. Then all that got lost during the time of the church ages and all. You'll find even in the book of Revelation, the beginning of it, the very first church age, as it left the early setting, went into a church age, God sent a message through John, "Thou art fallen. You've left your first love," and so on like that. But He says, "I will restore." He promised to restore back. And as He has restored back in this hour, amen, He gets a wife that will be just like He ordained and just like Paul spoke about. But Paul knew it wouldn't be in his day because he said, "I've got the Lord showed me I must put aside this tabernacle." Paul and Peter both, similar thing. And told them about certain things. Amen. And he went on to be with the Lord. But before he did, he said, "There's things among you right now, like the spirit of the mystery of iniquity does already work." And they had the deeds of the Nicolaitans, the doctrine of the Nicolaitans begin to get. So the church went off into the church ages, and the marriage, it weren't canceled. It was just delayed till God brought us in. And I said the other day, and somebody said, "I've never thought of it like that." I said, "I'm sure glad that the rapture didn't take place when Paul thought it was going to take place." You know why? We would all have been absent, wouldn't we? But God knew there was other seeds there that through the ages. So He delayed it till every one of His seed came in until He got His church ready. There's many people of God that is not necessarily the bride. See? And there's some will go in tribulation. And the seventh chapter of the book of Revelation speaks of a great number that no man can number. And the angel asked John, says, "Who are these?" He said, "Thou knowest." And he said, "These are they that came out of great tribulation, and they have washed their robes, and they made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Amen. So what happened to the bride? The difference is we don't wash our robes. He gives us a robe. Amen. He gives us His own righteousness, His wife. He gives His wife His own righteousness. And the Bible says in the Revelation 19th chapter that unto her it was granted that she should be clothed in fine linen, clean and white, which is the righteousness of the saints. Now that don't need any washing. It's perfect when you get it. Amen. Now He's wanting a perfect, God's searching for a perfect wife for His perfect Son. And she was predestinated to be here, and here she is. Hallelujah. Amen. And we're part of it. And we, as we go further along in these things of God, approaching more to the literal translation, we're going to see more and more things like happen in the early church in the sense of the realization that we're in a spiritual realm. Amen. The angels of the Lord were fairly common in the early church. Amen. You know, even before it came over to the Gentiles, and it continued after it did, but they put Peter in jail, and the angel of the Lord just came and got him out. Amen. Paul was on the ship there, and it looked like it was going to be lost and everything on it be lost. And they were fasting for 14 days. Neither did they see the sun, just in a storm. So Paul was down in the bottom of the ship praying, and he says, came up and told the captain, "This day or this night, the angel of the Lord stood by me." And he said, "This vessel's going to be lost, but not a hair of your head will be lost if you stay on board." Amen. So things like that was fairly common in the early church when angels were visibly seen by the people of God. And of course, many of us has also had similar experiences, and it's beginning to get more and more as we begin to accept it more and more, because he said in his word, the angels of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear God. And he said they're ministering spirits sent to minister to those that's heir of salvation. So we have come into a spiritual kingdom, and all the spiritual things are here. And he just, from time to time, let they become visible to us. Amen. Paul, he said, we've come to New Jerusalem. We've come through the heavenly host of angels. And we've come to where the spirits of just men are made perfect. He said, we've already come to that, see? Amen. And we begin to realize it happened. Now, it was a great phenomenon for this age because people weren't used to this happening. As God sent Brother Branham with a message, of course, went around and around the world. He was a messenger. But when the angel of the Lord came and talked to him and would tell him things, it really shocked people and caused people to have faith, some of them. And some of them criticized. But the point is, if you go back to the original, it weren't all that uncommon. Amen. For the angels of God to visit. Amen. So that's where we're at. We're in this hour where the kingdom of God is becoming more and more into the spiritual realm as we've come more and more into the spiritual. The kingdom of God's already in the spiritual realm. We just become more and more into the spiritual realm. But the point being, there's a bride that's going to be absolutely Christ's wife in the earth. Now, I've been thinking of a little something I mentioned the other week here about how Paul always used the word Christ. Christ. Amen. That's the spiritual Christ. Amen. When we say Jesus Christ, Jesus was the name of the Son, say. Amen. Before he was ever anointed of God, his name was Jesus. And it still is, see. And he is the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul never saw him at all in the earthly realm as Peter and the other apostles did. So, we got looking this week in the Strong Concordance and the little electronic Bible to see, look at this thing Paul was saying. That Paul would always say, Christ, Christ, Christ. And just, for instance, he would say something like this, you're dead, and your life is hid with God in Christ. And when Christ comes, amen, who is your life? You'll appear with him, and so on like that. So, Paul used the terminology over 400 times in 14 little books, see? But all the other parts of the Bible combined, which of course would be basically the New Testament, all the rest of it was slightly over 100 times. So you see the difference there? Amen. Paul using the word Christ. Well, see, he knew Christ in the Spirit, so we know him as Christ. Amen. That's what come down in Revelation chapter 10. It's Christ, not Jesus. Because Jesus, that's when I say not Jesus, that's only in a spiritual realm, because the Bible calls him a mighty angel, see. And it gives all the signs. But then he come, the Lord Jesus Christ comes and catches up in the rapture. We'll meet him in the air, and there it won't be just Christ. Amen. It'll be the Lord Jesus Christ, our bridegroom. Amen. Which he is now, but he's appearing to us as Christ as long as we're here, as until the time of the rapturing of the church, the literal changing. Then Christ is, it means the anointing, the spiritual one, and all that. So, you might want to look at that if you've never thought of it before. Remember, over 400 times in his little, had a writing, well, 14 books there, small, the little book, that Paul used the terminology Christ. And it's unavoidable when you're reading it. You can't get around it. It's there, it's there, it's on this page, it's on this chapter, it's in here, it's here. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you now, Lord. We come to you thanking you, Lord, and just appreciating you, and just asking you, Lord, to bless us as we've come together. You've already blessed us in a spiritual way, Lord, and we've been so touched. And we just thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for bringing us through this past week, for Thanksgiving Day, and for all the food that thou provided for us, and the fellowship, and the such like. Lord, we just thank you for that. But now we've come together, Lord, for the purpose of zeroing in on your word, and our minds are directly on you. So I pray, Lord, that you'll bless us, that we may speak words now that will help your children in this time we're living in. Amen. I'm going to read an old familiar scripture to begin with here. I want to read in 2 Corinthians and the 11th chapter. And I want to read here something about the bride being espoused, or a virgin espoused. And we've been over this quite a few times, that a virgin is never a wife, see. Amen. Because there's two parts of a wedding ceremony. The first part, she can be a virgin. Amen. That's the ceremonial part. Amen. But when in the consummational part, which only the wife and Christ goes in together, then it separates from everything else. Then the Bible says she become bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, and this is in Ephesians 5. Amen. And it's a great mystery how he goes back to Genesis. We leave our father and our mother and all these things, and then we cleave unto our wife, the wife to the husband. Amen. And they become one flesh, but not only one flesh. Paul said, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So we just become whatever Christ is, that's what we become, see. Amen. But now it didn't happen Paul's day. And Paul knew it wasn't going to happen. But his job was, and how great a job it was, to get us espoused or introduced or engaged. See? Amen. So, espousal, and since this is international, many people will know what espousal means. We're here in America and the Western world, we might just know it more. She got engaged to him, or took the ring and so on, and she's wearing a ring. And that means there's been a commitment made to marriage, for marriage, and usually a time set. But that's not bone of his bone yet. The marriage actually has to be consummated, and that'll be at a different time. So we're reading here in the Word of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and I want to read an old familiar verse here that we've read. I'll just get 1 and 2, 3 here. It says, "Would to God that you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me." And Paul was having reference there, that he had to vindicate his ministry in a way that he weren't quite comfortable with because of other people saying, "I'm this, I'm that," and so on. And Paul had to really come out and let it be known that he was the apostle to the Gentile in no uncertain terms. See? And then he says, verse 2, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy." That's why he was letting it be known who he was and what his job was for. And he says, "For I have espoused," and we could say engage, "I have espoused you to one husband." Now what? "That I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Amen. Now that's as far as he could go, present her as a virgin. Amen. And then it kind of, later on it picks up to be the wife, see. In other words, he said, "I've got a message to get you engaged to Christ." But the purpose is not just to get you engaged to Christ, just so you can say, "I'm engaged." Amen. But there's a marriage as he brought it in. And notice, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And that's what he did, the early church, that presented them to Christ. Amen. To become the wife. But the church fell away. But watch verse 3. He indicate that that's what he thought was going to happen, the way things were going. He said, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so that your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ." Amen. In other words, he's saying now, you've got to have the right things on your mind, and you can't let the serpent pull you either way, see. He said, "But I'm afraid that may be what's going to happen," see. I guess it was inspiration on Paul's part, because he's already seen things begin to go in the way that he didn't like. He said, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might bear with him." He said, the way you're going, you might even bear with him. But it weren't Paul's will for them to bear with him if they were presenting another. He said, and then he goes on, "I suppose I was not a whit behind in the very chiefest apostle." And we're going to stop that part of the reading off. But see, that's what he meant by. And he goes on and he really bears down on his office. That's why he said, "Bear with me in a little folly, a little of my folly. This shouldn't be necessary, but since the old serpent doing, and there's other preachers preaching another Jesus." Amen. Another Jesus, presenting Jesus in another way. He says, "I have introduced you. I am the apostles to the Gentile. I was not a whit behind in the very chiefest apostle." Even though he didn't see Jesus, probably never met Jesus. Amen. He might not have even heard about Jesus. I don't know. I don't know why it was. Because not 1% of the people in the world knew Jesus ever came. He came in such simplicity. Hallelujah. Over there is a carpenter. The book of Mark says that carpenter. And he was just a plain fella. And one thing about him, the Bible says there was no beauty about him that we should desire him. In other words, there was nothing external about him that would attract you to him at all. Hallelujah. Had to be the Spirit of God. Amen. God leading to attract you to Jesus. See? Amen. And very few people knew him when he went into the priest, into Jerusalem. The priests and all, they knew nothing about it. And they didn't even know anything about the forerunner, which was John. John down there was baptizing, and he weren't dressed like the priest down with a piece of camel hair wrapped around, a garment wrapped around him. And down there in Muddy Jordan baptizing, he had no religion, no religious training at all, and not one of them knew who he was. Amen. So they sat down there and asked John, "Who are you? Are you the Messiah?" He said, "No, I'm not the Messiah. You that prophet?" "No." Then how come you're baptizing? "Who are you?" This was religious now. "Who are you that we may tell them that sent us?" And he said, "Just tell them I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord." Now, if they'd known the scripture and Isaiah, there it says he would come. Amen, a voice in the wilderness. But the point is, they totally missed him. And even the ones that Jesus chose to be his disciples, it was so simple, happening right under their nose. And they didn't know. It's so simple. And that's why Paul said, "I fear lest as the servant beguile Eve, you'll be beguiled from the simplicity that's in this thing." See? Amen. So it was so simple that when Jesus began to reveal more to his disciples that he was the Messiah, they said, "Wait just a minute here." Said, "Why do the Sadducees and the Pharisees say that Elijah must first come?" Now watch this. Watch it just blow them away. Jesus' very own disciples, apostles. "How come they say Elijah must first come if you're him?" Jesus said, "He's already come and done that which was written of him. And you knew it not." It was so simple. A guy over there in the mud hole baptizing. Amen. That was the forerunner. And he was talking like a countryman talk. Said the axe laid out the root of the tree. And every tree that don't bring forth fruit will be cut down. And the Pharisees came. He said, "Oh, you generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath of God?" It was so simple. So that was one of the things Paul was warning them again. He said, "Don't. I'm fearful that Satan, the serpent, will get you away from the simplicity of this thing." People want it to be all dressed up. They want it to be all flowery. They want the whistles blowing and the priest with the dress on and all that. Amen. This thing's done in simplicity, and that's the way God's people like it. Now, I want you to notice, too, that Jesus, he came the very same way. See, he could be in the crowd and they didn't know him. And when they began to realize who he was, the kind, they said, "Well, he associates with sinners. He eats with publicans and sinners." And they began to say, "Well, he's a gluttonous man and a wine bibber. He's not up in the priest. He's not up in the temple taking lessons from the priest." No, he didn't have to take a lesson from him. This was the very Son of God come and doing exactly what he said he would do, and they missed it. And the same thing today, he has come in Revelation chapter 10 as mighty angel, and he's doing exactly what he said he would do, and it's being missed by all except his bride. Now those tribulation saints and all, they're not going to see it anyway. It's not for them. Amen. They'll get their wake-up call in the tribulation period. There's a lot of people ain't going to get the wake-up call until the bride's gone and this old world begin to fall apart. And they'll say, "Look, something's going on." Jesus said the sea will be roaring. Amen. And earthquakes in diverse places. And men's heart failing them from fear. Then people are, "What's going on? We're at the end time." They'll wake up, but the bride's already gone, see. Well, isn't there supposed to be a rapture? It's already happened, and you didn't know it. See? Amen. Now, Christ wants a wife like unto himself. And there's certain things going to be about with Christ's wife. Now Christ, He had compassion. He was tender-hearted. He was touched like this woman that touched the garment, you know. He was feeling her, He felt her infirmities. And He felt virtue go out of her. And He was touched. But on the other hand, He had a very sound mind, able to make decisions that one of the decisions, His sound mind caused Him to say, I do nothing until the Father shows me. Amen. Had to be the will of God. He never let His emotion pull Him to the left nor to the right. Amen. We brought it in last week where the mother of Jesus and the brethren was on the outside saying, go in there and tell Jesus we need to talk to Him. We got a little problem over here. And it could have been the cabinets that He fixed. I don't know, but I'm sure He fixed them right. But I don't know what Mary wanted to talk to Him about or his brother or what. But He said, instead of breaking the meeting up and going to talk to Him, He said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? Who is my family? He said, them that do the will of God. Amen. And there was no beauty about Him that we should desire. Now, I'm saying that for a purpose. Amen. Now, the bride is going to be somebody that is attracted to Jesus the way He is. And He's going to be attracted to her the way she is. Amen. And she's not going to try to What was the old timers here used to say? Put on the dog. That's what they'd say when somebody putting on. Amen. Now, I think most of us here, if you in other parts of the world don't know what that means, it means trying to be something and putting on and, you know, put on the dog. Amen. My mama used to say that, something like, oh, she's just trying to put on the dog. Say something like, oh, she's got her nose turned up so much that if it rained, it'd drown her probably, you know, when somebody wanted to be stand out. But when Esther went in to the king, there was virgins gathered from all around for the king to choose one as his wife. But when Esther came, Mordecai, I believe it was, told her, says, now here's what the king expects, you know. King, and there was other virgins, maybe 50 or so, I don't know if the Bible gives the exact number or not, but they were gathered all, and they were to try out to be the queen, you know. Every one of them, they wanted to, because if that king married them, they had anything in the world they wanted would be theirs. Amen. But Esther, she was instructed not to try to be put on all this fancy stuff. Don't try to be, said the king, can the king got all the gold in the world. He can get any of these women that's all dressed up and all their jewelry and everything. But the king gave some instruction. He said, give them what they want. For them to appear before the king. In other words, any type jewelry and any type makeup and anything they wanted, the king said, whatever they want, said, let them fix up like they want to be fixed up. And says, and when the time come in for the king to see them, there was one humble girl there that was instructed, the king ain't concerned about how much jewelry you got on. The king ain't concerned about how much paint you got on. Amen. Amen. The king ain't concerned whether your toenails are painted or not. He's gonna look, see, a humble girl. Because remember, Jesus was one that was no beauty about Him in the earthly realm that we should desire, but there's never been a more beautiful spirit in the world. Hallelujah. What the king was looking for, he was looking for character. So here stepped little Esther out. All of them marched by. And the king says, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you as they passed by. Amen. They might have had a number on, I don't know, to identify them with. And when all of them came by, The king told his servant, number seven. That's her. The servant might say, well, she didn't have on no earring. She didn't have no, her eyelashes fixed. She didn't have, what do they call that stuff put on the eye? I don't know why. She didn't have any of that on. And she didn't dress as skimpy as she could possibly dress. Why, she was kind of more on the order of someone that's kind of plain. Why would you choose her when all these others? And she doesn't have a number 10 figure, you know. And look at all these others. Maybe 50 of them. And here, you sure you want number 7? And that, not the Bible don't say number 7. I'm putting that number to give identity here. But the point is, he said, that's her. That's her. It was no doubt, see. Amen. Well, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is looking for in this hour. He's looking for a character of a good spirit. And he's looking for a bride. And has married, now she has become his wife. But he wants his wife to be of a sound mind. See? Amen. In other words, be of a sound mind means you're not controlled by emotions. Amen. You look at something, what's right and what's wrong, and you stay with that, don't matter what. Amen. Because that's a wife. Now, this engaged, yeah, they could do that engaged. The king didn't care if they put makeup on, had eyes, looked like cat eyes. Any of these things, because they were going through that period to go before the king. But the point was, the only one that was chosen was Esther. The rest of them went on. The king gave them gifts and thanked them, and maybe he might even give them the jewelry they had on. I don't know how it all went. He certainly thanked them and told them we appreciate them coming and all that. But Esther stayed. Amen. And and later on, as they went away, Esther had a banquet. And they came to the banquet, but they only came to the gate, see. Amen. They came to the gate of Esther's banquet. And no doubt they had food and gifts and whatever they when they came. But Esther went in with the king, say. Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. Here I'm talking about the wife of the Lamb, say. Amen. I'm not just talking about someone that's born again. Amen. And that's the greatest thing you could ever be, is be born again. Hallelujah. Because it takes that to put you in the running, we'd say. Amen. Praise God. So, I want to read a little bit here about what some of the qualities the wife will have. And I want to read in Ephesians chapter 4. And it's not going to be on the ministry, but it's going to be on something else here in Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to read Ephesians chapter 4, and I want to start, yes, I'll start verse 29. Now remember this, what we're talking about here, amen, it is the Christ, God made Christ a perfect man, the perfect man Christ, and he's making his wife the same, she become the perfect man, amen, as she married him. But in Ephesians 4 here it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. In other words, talk about this good word. Talk about something good. Don't talk about the things of the world. You know, in television, it's got so that about the only thing you can watch is news now or something. Hardly anything on there that's fit. And the language they use on it, even Family Channel, that it makes you cringe, even the things they say even there. Amen. Saying nothing about the cable channels and stuff, HBO and all. We don't have those things anyway. Amen. They put them on when they put our thing in, and for so long free, you know, just thought we'd buy. But we call, because we, it wasn't nothing there that you could watch and feel halfway good about, say. Amen. How many knows it? Wow, what they say and stuff and the way they do, it's a disgrace. See? Amen. But look here what it says here, verse 30. He says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption." The seal's not going to be broken. It said, "Let all bitterness," now here's the why, "let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Now we'll stop on that. Each group that comes forth, now God used a man named William Branham, a great prophet. Gave him a name like David. He told David he'd give him a man like unto the great men. He'd certainly take him from following the sheep and all. And he made him king. And God took Brother Brown from a little humble setting. Nobody wanted to talk to him on account of the name of the family. Father was drinking a lot and so on and very poor. Nobody would talk to him hardly. But God, he gave his heart to God, and he began to see vision things before. But God took him from that and set him up. Now his name is known around and around the world. Hardly anybody in Africa. Wherever you travel, you hear about Brother William Branham. And all, especially if it's the religious circles that all gave him a name like the great man. But when he passed off the scene, God took him home 65. And they've had several years for him. But every little group that sprang from him began to say, "We've got the right interpretation of it." And they began to fight one another as to, these folks are wrong and we're right. We're the one that's right. Well, as far as I'm concerned, they're all wrong if they got that kind of attitude. Amen? Amen. Same thing when Brother Jackson was taken off the scene. God gave him made him a great apostle. And now they did the same thing. They've pretty much gone every way from the church up there. Most of them, the ministers already left, and they started. But they'll say, "Brother Jackson said, we've got the right interpretation of what Brother Jackson said. We got what Brother Jackson said, and this is the way Brother Jackson means." And they begin to criticize each other, even calling them antichrist and all kind of things like that. That's not the bride, folks. Sorry. I'm not saying there ain't going to be some of the bride in there, but they'll wake up and realize this foolishness and this nonsense. Hey, man, ain't going to get them nowhere. If they're born again, it ain't going to get them nowhere but in the tribulation period. Because God's got a bride that loves that word, and God's bride fully respect all them seven church age messengers all the way back to Paul and all them. Amen. But they know that we're alive today, and it's what God's doing right here in the latter part of 2029, we'll say. Amen. Fixing going to 2010. Amen. Jesus is alive for us. Amen. And what he did back there was just to help us along. And I brought it in many times like this, Henry Ford had the old Model T and all. I watched it on History Channel. And he wouldn't make nothing. He painted them all black. Every one of them had to be black and made them the same way. But you could buy one for about $400, a little old brand new. And but then here come the other companies. They started making, got some, painted them red, blue, and different color. Well, Henry Ford's, He liked to win under. They closed down for a year to get everything going again. And when he came out again, he came out with a better model and different color paint. Some of them was black, but they had different colors. But look where we've come to today. Hey, man, they don't go back there and say, "I'm not going to drive nothing unless it's a T model." That's what people say. If Brother Brown didn't say it, I don't want it. If Junior Jackson didn't say it, I don't want it. Well, you probably ain't going to go no higher than you can jump when you the rapture takes place. Amen. And I don't never want to get to the place where somebody said, Ben Howard, don't say it, I don't want it. Amen. Although God's given us revelation and helped us keep pushing forward. Amen. Your devotion is to the Lord Jesus Christ and to His Word. I'm just His servant to stand out here. Amen. As Paul got him engaged, this message gets you to marry, is to marry you to Christ. Amen. But it's Christ in you, Paul said, the hope of glory. It wasn't Paul in them the hope of glory. It weren't Peter in them the hope of glory. It weren't any of the other church age messengers in them the hope of glory. It's not Brother Brown in you the hope of glory. It's not Junior Jackson in you hope of glory. It's not Ben Howard in you the hope of glory. It's Christ in you the hope of glory. Amen. All right. See, he wants a perfect wife. Like his son. And here, we just read that. There's one more verse I'm going to read you. And here he says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake. Why didn't he say the Lord Jesus Christ's sake? No, he had that word Christ, and you talk about Paul, sometimes we'll say somebody's gone to seed on a certain thing. If they talk about it a lot, well, we could say Paul went to seed on that word Christ. No, that's how he met him. On the way to Damascus, pillar of fire, he only knew Jesus in the Spirit. Amen, that anointing, that's Christ, see. Amen, so 400 and something times in his small amount of writing, he talked about Christ. And I love it that way. Amen. Because that's in the Spirit and that's the way He come. In Revelation chapter 10, He come as Christ, not Jesus. I preached a message not been too long ago. Some of you might still remember. I preached the coming of Christ Jesus precedes the coming of Jesus Christ. You might remember. You remember? Okay. See, now Christ Jesus, that's that anointed, that's spiritual. But when you say Jesus Christ, you put the flesh of the man and all there, and he's coming at Jesus Christ. Amen. He's going to sit on the throne of David over there. Glory to God. And when you're picked up to meet him in there, you're going to see him as he is because you're going to be like him. Amen. Then it's Jesus Christ, not Christ Jesus so much. Amen. In other words, he's not a spirit then. He's going to be just like he was when he came forth out of the grave. The apostles, they saw him, talked to him, and ate with him. Amen. But Paul didn't do it on. But watch here. Be ye kind, tender. Now, here the devil can use this. And he has done real good using Scripture. That's exactly what he did in the Garden of Eden. He came to Eve and he says, yea, has God said. And began to quote to her what God said and took her right away from the Word. Amen. Took her right away from her husband Adam. And that's what the serpent, Paul said, I'm afraid the serpent gonna take you away just like he did Eve. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm not going to comment on heavily right now. I may do it in another sermon because it'll be too much to get us through here today. But I want you to watch. Adam took his wife in a fallen state. See? And God had to reach down and get the tree of life. He said, lest you eat the tree of life in your fallen state and live forever. Amen. But watch here. Paul did not take the bride in that hour when the serpent had got her and got her mind all away from the Word. Amen. And led her astray from the simplicity. He didn't take her. Amen. The marriage was to take place. And I'm so glad he didn't say. Amen. Paul did not take her. Presented to Christ, become one with that, Amen. It had to go through the seven church ages. Here it is today. But now she's going to become one with Christ. And she is going to be raptured, clothed in fine linen, which is the righteousness of saints. And she has to have the mind of Christ. Now here, she's got to have a tender heart. Now that's one thing the bride has to be. But then she has to have a sound mind. Amen. Now a lot of people got a tender heart, but their decision is basically controlled by how they feel and their emotions. Amen. If you make your decision based upon emotion, you cannot be the bride. Amen. Because everybody got different emotions. Amen. And your emotion can control you. Amen. I said last week about some people said, I just didn't have the heart to say no. Well, Paul even had the heart to say no about some of the Scripture. Amen. If you get in the book of Romans there. Amen. 8th chapter. There's a Scripture that we're led to slaughter as sheep led to the slaughter. We're slain every day and all that. And Paul said, no. Amen. In Romans, I got another scripture that I want to get on the sound mind here. Because you got to have a tender heart and a sound mind. You got to be like Christ. Amen. See, Christ said, I do nothing. Amen. Till the Father shows me. Amen. Don't matter what the need was. I want to show you what Jesus did. He had great healing power. But one time he went down to the pool and there was one person there that was laying on a cot. And there was, every year God let the water get troubled. An angel came down and troubled the water. And the first one got into it got healed. The sick laid around the pool. But Jesus went down by one day and he healed. Now hold your seat now. Jesus went by one day and he healed the one man and left all the rest of them laying there. Amen. Why? He said, I do nothing till the Father showed me. The Bible says in the days of Elisha, there was many widows in the land. Amen. But he was only sent to one, and he gave her a test there. And she had two sticks. You make a cross out of two sticks, see? Amen. Just a little meal and oil. Enough for one meal. You know what that old selfish prophet said? Hard-hearted prophet. He said, make me the meal. Amen. Take that meal and that oil. Make me a cake of bread. Well, this is all I got. Me and my son's going to eat it and die. He said, make it for me. Well, God must have dealt with her heart. So she made that cake of meal and gave it to Elisha the prophet. Amen. You know what he did? He said, listen, lady. And these not his exact words, but listen, lady, from now on, your meal barrel won't be empty. And your cruse of oil will always be in it. She obeyed God, see? Amen. It looked like Elisha being so hard-hearted, taking the last meal from that widow and her son. Amen. But when he put the challenge to her, amen, somehow God was working on the other end. Amen. That woman said, I don't understand this. Amen. My son here is hungry. And I'm hungry. And just enough for one more meal. And here this man, this prophet, and he was an old gray-headed man, you know, and wasn't the way they dressed in those time periods. But she said, I'll do it. And she did, and he ate that cake of bread. Amen. But he had the word of the Lord for then. I'll tell you, God is bringing some oil and meal to His people today. The old corn of the land has been ground up and made meal so that we can make a whole cake of cornbread. Hallelujah. And have the goodies go with it. Hallelujah. Because we put God first and gave Him first. Amen. The Word says, give unto the Lord the first fruit of all thine increase, and God will bless you. Amen. How many will say amen? I got to get on because I got one more thing about the sound mind. Let's go to the book of Hebrews here. It's good. Now, the tender heart, we got that. The bride will be tender hearted. Amen. And here's where people, they can't get it straight. They think if you're tender hearted, you can't have a sound mind. You got to make decisions based upon what is the will of the Lord, not how I feel. Not whether it's going to please somebody. And sometimes, like with Elijah, it's going to look like you're doing exactly something you ought not do. But He's trying to build a nature of the Son of God into you so that you and Him will be perfectly united together. Amen. And as He's united with Him, there is a garment for you. It's made out of fine linen. It's without spot, without blemish. And He's clothing you in. But He wants you to be a matured wife of Christ. Amen. I'm speaking here of the body, not individuals in the body. Of course, take the individual makeup. And the reason I say that, I'm speaking of it from the standpoint, if somebody just got born again and haven't had time to do all these things, they would become part of the whole, see. Amen. An individual member of the body. But the body itself, hallelujah, hallelujah, gonna move only when she's got thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. She's gonna be clothed in fine linen. And she is gonna be of a sound mind. Hallelujah. Amen. In other words, a lot of preachers today, amen, they run them to death nearly. They wouldn't have time to. I know I've got a preacher, we used to be a lot closer than we are now, but all the time, he's going here, doing funerals, doing weddings, going there, and he said, I just don't have time to stop, don't have time to rest, I'm just running to death, and I don't have time to get in the Word. Well, and said, I just ain't got the heart to tell people no. Well, if you're going to be the bride, you're going to have the heart to say no. Because your first duty is to your husband. Amen. Some young girl might go along. She might do babysitting, and she might do house cleaning, and she might do all this, and she might go take lessons on different things, trying to get a better education, and just run. And that's the way most teenagers are today. With their little phone. Amen. I sat over at the parking lot the other day. Barbara, she had to run in to get a few groceries, and I just sat there a minute. I just watched people. Almost everyone, with very few exceptions, had a phone up there to their mouth. Ears. Talking, well, they got out of the car on it and go in the store on it. Yeah. And all that. Amen. Well, I tell you, people like that. The bride's going to dedicate her time. She's going to allot her time. She'll take that cell phone and throw it in the trash. Huh? Amen. Amen. If you can't walk from here to the back. Now, I know one church there, the pastor had to get on to them. They got this texting now. I don't know exactly. I don't even know about text, but what they do, they text things to each other. Well, the young people, several young people in the church there. When the service starts and singing go and the preachers start preaching, they start texting each other. You know, one sitting in the back on this side and one on that side, texting. Yeah, and the preacher got on to them about it. He said, you think I'm dumb? You think I'm stupid? I know what's going on here. Amen. They talk out and back with their little text and cell phone. Amen. Well, the bride, what I'm trying to tell you, the bride got a sound mind. If you come to church here to text somebody, say here and text, you need to stay home and text them. Amen. Praise God. We come here to meet with Jesus. Amen. We come here to get the Word of God. Hallelujah. And we're married to Christ, and we can't act like a single person anymore. I was saying that's single. She might say, the single girl might come along, say, Mama, can I go to Aunt Susie's tonight? And so on. And while she's there, she'd get all her young friends and go out. And a lot of times they find out she didn't go to Aunt Susie's at all. Amen. But going here and doing this, running. Well, when she get married, all that come to a screeching halt. Amen. She can't no more do these things. See, Paul engaged the church. He espoused her as a chaste virgin. But he says the wife of the Lamb has made herself ready. Now, the wife of the Lamb, you get married, it become a whole new ball game. If you still want to go over here and do this and do that, then you ought not got married to begin with. Hallelujah. Well, I gotta go babysitting. I gotta go this. My club meets tonight and I gotta go there. I pity the poor man that married a woman like that. Amen. I'm not saying you can't go somebody if somebody have hard luck or something needs babysitting. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about run here, run there. Amen. You're married. You got responsibilities different from that. If you become one with that man, you love him more than you love yourself. Amen. More than you love your own wife. Amen. You're going to want to be there the minute you can. I want to be with Jesus all the time. Now, that don't take the things we got to do. We got to do certain things. Got to work and these things like that. I'm not even talking about that. I'm just talking about people. They want to be footloose, what we call footloose and fancy free, you know. Going everywhere on the little phone. Yeah. Amen. I'm not. I tell you what. Well, that's all they got. But we got Jesus. He's our bridegroom, and we become what He is. If He's the Word, the wife's gonna become the Word too. Amen. The reason I read that: be ye tender-hearted, kind one. That's Jesus. But then, on the other hand, Jesus had a sound mind. That was old Elisha, or Lazarus over there. He was sick, near death. And they said, come Jesus, come on Jesus, hurry. He may be dead before you get here. Jesus just stayed an extra couple of days and he died. Amen. And it took him about 4 days to get there after Lazarus died. And the Mary and Martha, they was all crying, he's dead, if you done what we said. You didn't listen to us, Jesus. Had you been here, you wouldn't have died. Jesus said he'll live again. Oh yeah, I know he will at the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Where'd you lay him at? He walked up to that grave and he heard, Lazarus, come forth. And here he came bound, wrapped in the cloth that they buried him in. Jesus said, unwrap him and let him go. Jesus is never late, is he? Now I want you to notice this may be of interest to you here. When Jesus rose from dead, his cloth, they was laying right down in the grave. He came right out through them. Because he had a glorified body. But Lazarus, he had to die again. Amen. So when he came out, he was in the same old body that he died in. That body just healed. So they had to unwrap him and loose him and let him go. But Jesus, they didn't have to do that. Because he came out with a glorified body. And a glorified body, you go through a wall, through a housetop, or whatever, walk through a tree. Now I want to read this in Hebrews here in closing this out here. I'm hoping we're getting this. I'm trying to be simple. And that's where they missed Jesus. You know why? It was too simple. That's why they missed John. It was too simple. And if you cannot receive simple things from God, amen. Paul said, I fear lest you'll be took away from the simplicity. This is simple. Now, I'll just begin reading in Hebrews, the fifth chapter. Fifth chapter, for those of you, some. Paul began to tell them certain things here. But I'll start with the fifth chapter, 11th verse. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. That you don't want to be in this hour now. He says, for when the time that you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teaches you again, which is the first principle of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. Now here's where we want to get, here's the bride, here, verse 14. He said, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full age. Now watch, please catch it. Even those who by reason of use have exercised, have their senses. Now no, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now there's the bride. Don't matter how you feel, you can be tender hearted. You can feel sorry for someone, and you should have certain feelings. But the point being here is it profitable for what you're trying to obtain? Now, what you're trying to obtain is this, to walk with the Lord, talk with the Lord, live with Him, amen, being spiritual, amen. Therefore, when a situation come to you, you got to discern, like Adam and Eve, see? In the garden. God set them in the Garden of Eden. When they eat that fruit, their eyes was open. And God has opened your eyes. Amen. He opened their eyes to discern good from evil. And from that second on, they was responsible. God has opened your eyes so that you can discern good from evil. And He says in order to be good, exercise your senses. A lot of people, they don't want, well, I'm not even going to think about it. I'm not even going to. Somebody said, talk about a problem or something that I'm not even going to go there. Why? Well, if I go there, I make a decision. And if I make a decision, somebody get their feelings hurt. If somebody get their feelings hurt, then, it'll make me feel bad. Well, the Bible says, exercise your sin. You, Christ Jesus, made decisions. Amen. His wife is not going to be someone that's so tender heart. I could take a text like this. Having a tender heart and a sound mind. Oh, I was going to read that in Romans, wasn't I? Where it said nay. Where Paul said nay, and I got preaching. Amen. Sometimes you got... Let me go ahead and do that in closing this out, because I was going to do it. I got preaching here, and it came back to me, so I think maybe I'll do it now. In Romans 8 chapter... I did get back to it, didn't I? I want to read this. It will be in verse... Let's see. Let me find it here. Yes. I want to read verse 36. And watch this decision here Paul making. Amen. Hard in a way. A lot of people afraid to make a decision like that, but Paul wasn't. He had exercised his sense. He knew where things fit. How many remember the message I preached about nay? Because I preached that. But watch what Paul said here. Verse 36. He says, well, let's get 35 and 36. Who shall separate from the love of God which is in which the love of... Who shall separate from the love of Christ? I'm sorry, it's Paul writing. It's not the love of God, the love of Christ. Amen. I love that Christ now. You know, I love it. Amen. Love of Christ. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or prayer or sword? Watch, then there's a scripture. And there's a scripture that said, Paul, there's a scripture that said, we'll kill all day long. He said, as it is written, for thy sake we'll kill all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Amen. Let's see what Paul said. That's what the scripture says. But Paul, let me hear you make a statement on that. He said, nay. That don't apply to me. Nay. Amen. How many sees that? Paul had exercised his sense. He knew that God's give us victory in the days it was written, yes. But don't try to throw it on me, he said. Nay, that don't apply to me. He says, nay, in all things we're more than conquerors through him that loves us. Amen. Now, how many love God? You see how you exercise your sense? Is that right? How many say, exercise your sense, have a tender heart, be kind, be tender hearted. Amen. But when something come that begin to steal your time, and remember, Satan, he is a thief and a robber, and there's nothing he likes to steal from the bride more than her time of dedication and meditation and communion with him, because she's becoming one. She's becoming his wife. She has that fine, that garment, fine linen, clean white. Amen. All right, I could take this a little further, but I'm going to stop it all. Amen. God bless you this morning. Amen. Do you see it now? Well, what that last scripture says, exercise your sense to discern. Is this going to take me away? Amen. For instance, somebody might say, the devil, he's wise. Somebody might get sick. And they got three children. And they might say, well, you come over and stay with me for a week. My kids are, somebody got to take care of my kids. Well, you got married now and you can't do it. Your first obligation is to your husband. Ask him first. Now, there's time where you can, you know. And I'm not saying make that a rule. But I'm just saying you can get pulled this way, you can get pulled that way, and you can get pulled that way. And the first thing you know, you're so frustrated. If you try to meditate on the Lord or pray, your mind's going 30 miles an hour, and you can't even get your mind on the Lord. All right. Old mean preacher, no, I got a tender heart. I'm kind, but also I got a sound mind. God bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you, Lord, for your love, goodness, and mercy. And I just pray, God, that, Lord, that you'll take these words and you'll use them, Lord. And, Lord, I'm praying now, Lord, that people won't take either thing that I said to an extreme, but take it in, exercise their sense to discern when someone truly need help and it's in our power to help them. And it's a temporary situation where that is not going to pull us away from the thing you've ordained. Then, Lord, help us to be willing to help and labor and be tender-hearted. Amen. But, Lord, help us also to be wise and watch that we don't let it become a permanent thing, just something temporary to get them over a hump, Lord. Oh, God, I pray you bless us now. Help us, Lord, and as this word go forth, may it goes, as David said, take the wings of the morning, fly to the othermost parts of the world. Because wherever this light's at, it become morning. Oh, God, in Jesus' name. Now bless each one, we pray, as we go our separate ways. For your glory, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through hard trials, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long.